Welcome to another episode of Why Your Story, brought to you by SVI Media here in beautiful Afton, Wyoming. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
And together,
we are
Why Your Story. Of course. Hope everybody's doing well.
Are you still off the caffeine?
I am off caffeine now for 5 weeks.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
I ask myself that every day when I get up.
I just don't understand.
Suicidal thoughts cross my mind.
Well, see, I think there's nothing wrong with caffeine. So, I mean,
it's just that it's not so much the caffeine that bothers me. It's just the sugar, the pure amount of sugar. It gets lodged right above my belt.
Have you taken it in a notch?
I've taken it in two notches.
Whoa, that's so good.
Yep.
Really good.
Yeah, thanks. Kind of on a little diet.
Congrats.
Yeah, it feels better. I'm jogging like 2 miles now without...
No, you're not.
Yeah, without calling an ambulance. No, I really am.
No, you're not.
I did. Like
you did
three
once.
Times now.
Oh, three times.
Three times I've jogged 2 miles. But you have to build up to this stuff.
Of course.
Yeah,
of
you course. you just don't go cold turkey and jog 2 miles.
So you're trying that new California thing of jogging?
It's kind of a it's kind of a yog with oxygen. So anyway, you doing good, MJ?
I am, and I've been biking, and I sometimes need to call the ambulance too.
Yeah, seems to be a theme sometimes with us.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. The older you get.
But you know, fall is quickly approaching.
Oh, my favorite time of the year.
Me too, and I'm over the temperatures. Fair is done. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that a great fair?
It was a wonderful fair.
Yeah.
I mean, who has elephants and kangaroos?
Afton, Wyoming, baby.
That's right.
Well, so we're excited today to talk to everybody about, you both all know that MJ and I are EMTs for Star Valley EMS. And today in studio, we have the three amigos.
We do.
Or the three stooges.
Or the P word.
Or the three paramedics.
Yeah.
It's whatever you want to call them. Stooges. Paramedics, amigos, whatever.
But, I think I want to call him great.
Okay, you can.
Except for maybe one of them.
That's me.
No, I'm kidding.
No, we're here today with three of our paramedics, and we're really excited to have them in the studio with us.
We're very excited.
And I thought that it would be very appropriate as fall is coming on to kind of talk about some of the emergency medical stuff that we see on EMS, and I thought that it would be more appropriate to have some of our paramedics talk about some of the things that they deal with.
I think so too.
And also, you know, kind of what separates paramedic level service from any other run-of-the-mill service. So,
right, because there is a huge difference.
Yep. So in-house today we have Paul Terry.
Hello.
Hello, Paul. And we have Cooper Jensen.
Hello.
And we have the none other, not last but not least, Jimmy Smith.
Hello.
So, guys, are we an all-male service, or what's the deal? How come we don't have any female paramedics here? This question is going to Cooper Jensen.
So, we used to have a female paramedic, and then she left.
We had two.
Yeah, we had two.
Oh, yeah,
we had
two.
We had Diane, and we had
Kylie. Had three.
And who's the third?
Kylie.
Oh, and Christy.
Christy.
Yeah. And okay, yeah. So we've had three, but you guys run them off.
Yeah,
sounds like.
Pretty much.
Yeah, our testosterone was just too much.
Yeah. I can second that. Okay, well, good deal. Paul, this question will be for you. Tell us, so that everybody understands, the difference between a normal EMS service, you know, in these rural communities versus a paramedic level service. Let's just start and get that out of the way right now. What's the difference?
Well, there's a lot of things that make it a difference. First of all, we're a full-time agency, so we're in station during most of the day, which makes shorter response times to get to your emergency, whatever it may be. Then there's different things that we can do, like rapid sequence intubations for somebody that's super ill, or tracheotomies. There's a lot of things. Then another thing that is a plus is we have time to study and practice lots of days, where most of the people that live in rural agencies have volunteer agencies, which are great people. but they have full-time jobs that they have to commit to, and then out of the goodness of their hearts, they give us their time that they, most of the time, it's not even leftover time, it's time that they have to sacrifice to give. But part of that difference comes from the ability to just make it a full-time focused job or interest rather than a sideline that you enjoy and love.
How long have you been a paramedic? And tell me just a little bit of your story, your background, and you know who you're married to, how many kids.
All right. Well, I actually have only been a paramedic for 7 years now. Five of those years have been here in Star Valley, 2 years outside of here. But I have been an EMT. I did the volunteer thing, just like I was talking about, for 15 years with volunteer and part-time service in other communities in Utah before I moved up here. I'm an empty nester. All of my kids are raised. I have 6 kids. I have 4 boys, 2 girls. And an interesting note about me, if 20 years ago somebody would have said that I would have had anything to do with EMS, I would have told them that they were absolutely crazy, because blood made me pass out, needles made me pass out, and I just didn't even like anything to do with it. And then through a course of events, started into EMS and grew and developed and overcame all of those natural tendencies that I had, and now I think I'm just as warped as the rest of them.
Well, you're great.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Cooper Jensen, tell us about the Afton service and then kind of expand into the Thane and Alpine area. Talk about EMS as a whole and how the Valley is all kind of working together type thing.
Okay, well, if it's okay, can I add to what Paul said earlier?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. So one of the other biggest differences to kind of add to what Paul was saying is paramedic, you don't do this to volunteer. This is a career. This is the lifestyle that we kind of chose, or it chose us, whatever you want to say. And so for us, it's more of a kind of a passion kind of a thing compared to passion to help the community. We're kind of passionate about paramedicine. So that's one of the big differences that kind of happens. I know for me, when I first came here and people saw my expectation level and everything like that, it kind of freaked them out and they didn't like that. So
I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know. Some people did, some people didn't.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's one of the big differences with that between paramedicine and volunteer. They're doing it out of the kindness of their hearts to volunteer for their community. We're doing it because we're warped and twisted and like the chaos.
So. Yeah.
Tell us a little about yourself again. Your background.
Okay. So let's see here. I've been in EMS for 12 years, a paramedic for 10 years, 6 years here, and then 4 years in Casper, Wyoming. Born and raised Wyomingite. And see here, little girl, significant other. And that's pretty much it. Live here in Afton, so not too interesting, I guess.
And do you see yourself being a paramedic for the rest of your career?
That's a really good question.
is that a pleading the fifth, or you're just still thinking about that?
I really like what we do. I really like the autonomy that I have with some of the physicians that we work with. And that changes a lot of things. If you have that good autonomy and a good scope that you can practice with, it's kind of hard to leave that life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And by some who aren't in EMS, autonomy with a physician means that they're comfortable with you doing something that is, let's say, coloring outside the lines. You're in the gray area, but you know it's the right thing to do because of your experience, by what you've seen and everything like that, and going to that level. So that if you have that, it's really hard to leave that. It's hard to, because you can treat patients and make a big difference.
Yeah.
So But now with the valley, can you rephrase that question?
Yeah, sorry. just speak to so people understand how EMS is working right now.
Okay.
In the valley, and maybe what some of our goals and plans are for the future.
Yeah, copy that. So right now, the only career people in EMS are with Star Valley EMS in Afton. So that would be career staff, let's say, that is going to be the paramedics and some EMTs that we work with. There are some EMTs like Travis and Jim Fry that they work a ton of hours, and Tyler Johnson, that they could be considered full-time. But anyways, so the goal is to get career everywhere. What I would love is if this is a brand new career path that somebody at the high school hears this, and then they can sit there and go, oh wait, that's a choice for here, and I don't have to leave here.
That's great.
That would be great, because mm-hmm. then we can start a farming system, have EMT basic classes,
right?
Then build them all the way up through the ranks. But so right now, north of here, or in Lower Valley, as the locals call it, is Thane EMS, and they're an all-volunteer system, and then Alpine EMS. And they have one full-time person, I think, or two. I don't know. I don't remember. And then the rest are volunteers. And so the goal, ever since I moved here, I just looked at it, and it was just like, wow, we really just need to be combined. Mm-hmm. Because for me, it's really hard for us to be sitting down in Afton, and then we hear a really bad call go out up in Alpine and have to wait to respond to it, because that just, I mean, we all know, since we're all EMS here, that the longer we have to wait to be able to get to that patient, the worse the outcomes are going to be. Now, granted, they have their EMTs there, and they're doing a good job. But to get that next level can just be critical, especially with full arrest and stuff like that, traumas.
Agree.
And so that's to me is our goal, I think, is to be able to combine all of our services together to get paramedics in every community, so that so here in Afton we have less than a 2-minute shoot time. So a shoot time would mean from the time that the tones go off to the time the wheels are rolling to get to the scene. And I mean, some places it's significantly longer until that ambulance even goes around.
That's a big deal.
It is a huge deal.
I don't think people realize how big of a deal that is, because
I bet people that live in this valley call 911 and 30 minutes later they don't have somebody there.
So and you put yourself in their shoes. If you're calling 911 for help, you need help, and you need it right now.
911's an emergency, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And so, I mean, that's got to be pretty comforting to know that within 2 minutes of them receiving the call, wheels are rolling.
Right.
To come to you.
Right.
And so, it's lights and sirens, and we're coming.
Yeah, and our longest response time is going to be probably 10 minutes here. So that's going to be, so in Upper Valley. So that's going to be the south end of Smoot all the way to the far eastern side of, western side of Auburn.
Yep.
Right.
And so that's going to be max 12 minutes. Now, if you're having a heart attack, 12 minutes is forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can understand that. So that's why, you know, we like to be as close as we possibly can.
Sure.
Imagine if you're in Star Valley Ranch, you call 911, and, you know, we're the first ones there, and it's 17 minutes later. That would be like Thane proper, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
It's a long time.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Thanks, Cooper.
Thank you so much.
Jimmy, you're up. Jimmy Smith, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy, talk to us a little bit about your background. What brought you to Afton? Why? And why are you doing what you're doing?
No state taxes.
What did he say? Did he say state?
No state taxes.
Oh, no. So,
I'm originally from Tennessee and joined the Army long ago, around 1990. A medic in the Army until I became a paramedic, courtesy of the Army, and have been a paramedic since 1994. to include working in North Carolina on a helicopter for about a decade at a university, and then contracting in scenic vacation spots like Iraq, Afghanistan, and Africa for the last 11 years, until literally I stopped doing that last year and decided I wanted to see what Wyoming had to offer. And here we are.
Nice. Do you have a family?
Three ex-wives, like any good paramedic.
Okay. And,
currently married to a lady from Ukraine who is also settling in the United States and rural Wyoming.
Nice.
So was great. It kind of a shock coming from the military to the Wyoming?
No, not really.
Not really?
No, we don't like people in the military, and there's not a lot of people here. No, everybody minds their own business. I say don't like, but in reality, it's just people don't. They're not overbearing and in anyone else's business. So.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
So, okay, Jimmy. So, being a paramedic, is there coming up through the military like you did? Did you know that you wanted to be a medic? Did you know you wanted to be?
Nah.
What clicked? What went?
I was from a small town, much like this in Tennessee, and there weren't very many options for career paths. The Army was one, and I wanted to jump out of planes. So they let me jump out of planes and said, you're going to be a 91 series specialist. Wow. And I had no idea what I was really getting into, although I had watched Emergency growing up as a kid. So
right there.
And everything was... It's very fitting, and I was lucky for my 4 years in the military in that not only did they support my education, but I went places and did real medic things.
Yeah.
Right. Like not less than 10 percentile at that time could say that they get that opportunity.
Exactly.
Very cool. Well, we're glad to have you here in the Valley.
That's for sure.
Happy to be here.
Okay. All right, MJ, do you have any questions at this point?
I want to have an answer from all three. What makes you smile in the morning? They're all so serious right now.
I'm trying to think of what makes you smile.
I'll start. Cooper's breakfast sandwich.
Okay.
He does do a great sandwich with avocado.
Well, for me... right now, I'd have to say my daughter is probably number one on that one. So
yeah,
yeah.
It makes me smile to look out my sunroom windows and look at the beautiful view.
Nice, nice, great.
I have a question for every one of you. So I have been on very serious calls with each one of you. Some cases people have died. Some we've made a difference. But there's those calls that don't end the way you want them to end. Everybody processes things differently. I'd like to hear your three perspectives on how you move on. You know, how you keep what's your frame of mind when things don't go the way you want them to go. Paul?
Well, first of all, I think there's two different things that go on. First of all, try and look and find anything that you may have, should have, could have, would have done that would have made things different. So there's that time of beating yourself up over why, what did I do wrong, what could I have done better. But then I also know that the Grim Reaper sometimes just wins, no matter how well we do or whatever processes things go through. Sometimes the injury or illness is too significant, or we call it
non-survivable.
There's another one, incompatible with life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Injuries that are incompatible with life. And so there's a lot of different things that go through my head after all of those, from that serious, what could I do better, to the time when you finally let go and say, okay, next time I will win.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Cool.
And I think paramedics need to be self-assured, and a lot of times people take that for cockiness, but it's not that at all. I mean, you need to go in there and be steady, calm, and all three of you guys do that.
Well, and know what the flip you're doing.
Exactly. And I think all of us come back from a call and say, okay, what could I have done better? You know, and you just have to be honest, and, you know, sometimes there's nothing. You know, a lot of times there's nothing. Okay, go ahead, Cooper.
deep, dark sarcasm.
And that's great.
Yeah.
You have to.
I mean, if you can't laugh at, sound dark, but if you can't laugh at people dying, then you're not going to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Well, I mean, if you take everything to heart with this job, you're not gonna survive it. So I don't know. I have a much longer drawn out answer to that that I don't know if you guys want me to go into or
we
not.
Do.
Yeah, we okay. go.
So again, it's kind of dark, but this uh-huh. is what I found for myself. So when you go on a call and it's a very bad call, regardless if it's a child or a grandparent, to me, in my mind, what I had to teach myself is I don't care that they're human. Now, after the call's over, I will care. But while working on that person, they are just a sack that has all the exact same anatomy, and I need to try to figure out how to fix it.
Mm.
They don't have children. They don't have anything. They are just a body with the same anatomy that I need to fix. And if I...
Go ahead. Sorry.
It's all right. If I humanize them, then I don't want my emotions to get involved. 'Cause if you get your emotions involved... And you see it. You see brand new people all the time. When they get their emotions involved, they just start spinning like a top, man.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then they just get yep. out of control, mm-hmm. and the chaos takes them.
That's right.
And I had a paramedic explain to me that we are supposed to bring calm to the chaos. And mm-hmm. that is how I found to
okay.
bring I've been calm told to that
the
too.
Chaos. Yeah, me too.
Bring calm so, to the yeah. scene. That's great. Go ahead, Jimmy. With your years of experience...
Yeah, much like what Cooper said, calm, deliberate, without emotion, perform everything to the best of your ability, and improve what you can, and never forget that the first rule in EMS is that people do die. Okay. So just don't let it affect you or destroy you, or you won't learn what you're supposed to learn from each one of those episodes.
Yeah.
And I think our listeners need to understand that, you know, they might seem like they don't care. They totally care. They just... If they went to every scene and cried and broke down, they wouldn't be effective in their job.
You couldn't survive.
You couldn't
survive an EMS.
No.
They
would
be nurses.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
oh,
would be nurses.
Boy. Oh, wow.
All right.
Well. Thanks, Jimmy.
So, MJ, do you have something that you do when you get off these calls?
Yeah, I usually... These bad ones? I have to kind of sometimes... Depends upon the situation, but... That took me a long time to get to the calm part.
Yeah.
Because I'm just high strung. But humor helps.
Mm-hmm.
Sick humor, probably. But
all EMS humor is sick humor.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
And I have to.
I sometimes wonder what, you know, we call it the civilian world, but what would they do if they heard some of our jokes?
Gosh. The thing is you can't judge us because you've never been in those situations.
Right.
Right.
Until shiz gets real.
There is worse. My sister's a mortician. And oof. Yeah. So there is even darker humor than what we possess.
So early on, I really struggled with some of these things, you know. And uh-huh. I, you know, every one of the paramedics has already said it. You know, what are you going to learn and what are you going to do better next time?
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing that I always hang on to is... Yep, people are going to die, but then there's always those instances where we do make a difference.
Absolutely.
And those are the ones you have to hang on to. And the other thing that I always hang on to is, I am so glad it wasn't my child.
Yeah.
Or my wife.
Right.
You know, so I can come home and be like, oh, thank you, you know.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen when the tones go out and it's one of my family members. That's going to be tough.
Another thing I do is I don't judge. When I walk into a home and it might not be clean, or I go to a car wreck and they might have been drinking. I just don't judge. I just take care of the patient. And that's...
They're a sack of bones.
A sack.
Yeah. They are.
Yeah, a sack.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need... I mean, right off the bat, and you guys can speak to this, but, you know, speaking of a sack of bones and meat and sinew and tissue, though, we right off the bat, we need to know temperature. weaning no oxygenation. I mean, there's a whole list of 100 things that we go through right off the bat to judge that sack of bones. Right.
And
see where it's at.
Many times the stories were first told, they completely change by the time you get to the ER and they're talking to the doc. It's like not the same story at all. And so then you just look like a total idiot. I'm sure you guys have had that.
In an area where, so like if you guys have any nurses or anybody like that listening to this, the biggest thing that we deal with, and I think back to a call that I had with you, Travis, we get on scene and a guy's holding a gun in your face,
yes,
yelling at you to take care of his son.
Yes. Yes.
So doctors and nurses, they don't deal with this.
Nope.
I had a call at the high school, and I've never heard screams like this before.
I was with you on that one, too.
Yeah. And so if I let my emotions take over on that, then I'm not going to do any good for anybody.
Right.
And if... family, and honestly, I think family does appreciate it when we do walk in and, you know, we're straight and direct with them. And if we seem like we have control, because sometimes we are the only ones that have control on scene, and everybody will gravitate to the one who seems the most calm, even the family. And sometimes the family might think that we're being heartless and telling them to leave or whatever, but they're still appreciating it. Because somebody calm is actually touching that
right.
human being.
There's some order. There's
That's
been
right.
order
That's
established.
That's a good point.
Yeah, good point.
So, Trav.
Yeah.
You just talked about 911 to your house.
Yeah.
So, it ended up not being anything at my house, but last fall, I was out of town, and we get different texts across our... across our phones that give us the calls and what's going on. And I just come into cell service, and it had my address and a dead body.
Oh my gosh.
Mm.
So there are some emotions that will go through your mind.
Oh, Paul.
Yeah.
And
I texted him.
I called him very quickly after that.
Oh, yeah. Ben.
Yeah, I was like...
And I appreciated that because I was in a place, I was trying to call home, nobody was answering.
Oh, Paul.
And so, yeah, there are some different emotions, like you say, that are tied to your home
yeah.
and different
mm-hmm.
things like that. And so, it was interesting for a few minutes.
Yep, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
I'm just glad things turned out okay.
Oh, I am too.
Holy mackerel. Go ahead.
I'd like to have... something that was a positive, a great story, had a great outcome, something you didn't expect, or a funny story. We'll start with Jimmy, because he's, you know, just shaken.
Because he's
wants
so
to
funny.
Talk
he
so
wants,
much.
Yeah.
He is hysterical.
I've had, I don't know, some of them I forget, but usually you'll have what I'll call a William Shatner call. Rescue 911, statistically about one a year, maybe more, maybe less. One of them I can remember, and it was 4 or 5 years after I initially met this little boy, who was at the time a premature birth, who was only 4 months gestation, and
oh,
had a...
Wow.
4 months, had an apnea monitor. So he's basically like birth weight. Mom goes in to check on him, and his apnea monitor went off. So like she literally was there the moment he stopped breathing. He had been sick leading up to this, but again, he was 4 months premature, so he's always been sick. That's all you really know.
Wow.
So, long story short, quick response time, quick and successful resuscitation. And years later, when I was going to teach a class back in that area, I actually just drove by the residence and I saw him playing in the front yard, and I stopped.
Oh.
Mom remembered who I was. And
I got chills.
I got to
wow.
see the little boy. So you do make a difference. And that's a lifelong difference.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's, let's see, what would he be now? In his 20s, maybe
wow.
30.
Yeah,
oh my
that
gosh.
Old now.
You are old.
So, yeah.
Hey, now.
So that's my one memorable.
That's
like,
really neat, Jimmy.
That, yeah.
That's neat.
I bet you'll never forget that feeling you had when you drove by.
Cooper.
I got a couple here.
Of course you do.
What? It's not a cocky thing.
No, I didn't say
oh,
it was.
Oh, okay. Well, so I'm not LDS, but the very first day after the temple was christened, so I'm not allowed to go in anymore and everything like that. And there's a call at the temple, and I think CPR was in progress. Mm-hmm. And I go in with Christy and two drivers.
Mm.
That's it. That's it. So me, one EMT, and two drivers.
And with CPR going.
With CPR
going. Oh, boy.
Right. And so I didn't know what to expect, right? I've never been in a temple. Everybody's wearing white. We're all wearing all black. And so lo and behold, we get him out. He's alive today. Taylor, she's like, oh, I saw such and such. I'm like, who? Such and such, the guy that you saved at the temple? I'm like, I don't know his name. And, but the funny thing is, okay, so he didn't know. So, okay, we get him back. We go to the hospital. We're at the hospital like an hour, and I'm transferring him to Ermac. And he had no idea that he died. He asked me like 15 times. He's like, so what happened?
You're like, dude, you
don't go to the light.
and he's just like,
stay with the black.
Okay, so, and I'm like, and after it was all over, I just thought it was kind of funny because he's and wait, we told him every time, you know, we brought you back, and then and he just like, huh, and he never once said thank you. I'm not saying that's a sad thing. I think it's funny.
That's awesome. Well, thanks.
Yeah, no. He's just like, huh, okay. Well, I was saying, it was like,
moving on.
Did he not want to come back?
That's awesome. Did you have another story? You had a couple.
Paul and I were on one.
I'm going to bring that one up as one of mine.
I'll let you bring that one up then. Okay. I had another one where kid did a really good job of running himself over with his own truck and darted him four times to get his O2 sat up from 49% up to 80.
Explain to the you mean by dart.
Darting. Cooper.
Okay, so this is what an advanced life support thing can do. So he had what we call a pneumothorax. And what happened was is when he accidentally ran himself over, he gave himself a pneumo. So his chest wall was completely crushed. He has multiple metal ribs right now. But his lungs weren't inflating. They're actually collapsing in on themselves because the pressure outside is greater than inside of us. And so I just had to put a bunch of long catheters that are wide diameter through their ribs into the cavity space to get that lung to be able to get rid of that pressure inside of it. And and so he got back to the hospital alive, and then they were able to put in chest tubes. Uh-huh. And flew him out of here so he can get some metal ribs.
Nice.
Was that four or five, Cooper? I mean, that was a lot of them. You had to dart him several times.
Four times, and I ran out of darts.
Yeah. Mm. That is amazing.
Wow.
I love it.
Yep. Great stories.
Both. Paul.
So, Cooper and I were working together one day, and we had a call out for a full arrest. And we headed out to see him. We were not together. He was at the garage, and I was at the hospital, and we headed out in separate vehicles, but we got to the scene at the same time. We grabbed stuff and headed in, and gratefully, the wife was doing CPR.
Learn CPR.
Yep. Yes, that is a very good thing, because I attribute what happened a great deal to her having done CPR.
Both of the CPR calls that we're going to talk about all had bystander CPR and are all still alive today.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good point, Cooper. So we went in, and I took airway and got the Lucas ready and got the Lucas on. Cooper started CPR. And by the time we do a set of 30 compressions and then two breaths, and at the end of the first 30 compressions, we had the Lucas device put on. So the second 30 were done by the Lucas. And then as soon as I got that on, Cooper was able to get the pads on. And we had two EMTs that were less than 2 minutes behind us. And the guy's heart was beating again by the time they walked in the door.
Wow.
And just not many seconds after that, he woke up and looked at us and was talking to us.
Amazing.
So that was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Both the EMTs that were on that call were kind of jealous because they're just like, you guys got pulses back within 2 minutes. We didn't even do anything. Oh, and a Lucas is just an arm that goes down and does much better CPR than a human.
It's kind of a mechanical CPR.
It does not get tired.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, fantastic. That's a great story.
And and that worked out really well. A kind of a funny story we had. There was a full arrest that had happened in the ER, and they got their heart beating again, and one of the other paramedics and myself were heading over to Idaho Falls, and he had been unconscious the whole time we were taking him to Ermac, to their cardiac center there. And we get just through Alpine, and he, to that time, had been completely unconscious. It was pitch black outside. He opens his eyes, sits up, and says, "Oh, we're in such and such place," and he named exactly where we were at.
Oh, wow.
And then he laid back down and he was
out the rest.
Out again. And then right in Swan Valley area, it was dark. You couldn't see anything again. There was no lights. He sat up again and said, "Oh, we're in such and such area again."
Creepy.
I was like, "Whoa, how do you know? I can't even see anything." Obviously, you've been, so.
That's great.
That was an interesting story.
Right.
To add on to the part where I said autonomy with docs and everything like that, that call that Paul and I had together. So luckily our monitor prints out when you shock somebody. And so we get back to the hospital. I gave this guy some drugs to help him calm down, help him with pain, because it hurts to get your chest pounded on and everything like that. And we come in and the docs like sees him, she's just like, "He wasn't dead." and I hand over the strip, and the doc's just like, "Oh, okay, well then, all right, well, we're gonna be transferring."
So
that's awesome.
So we're running short on time, but I wanted to speak to the level of paramedics. So people out there, you know, you're probably listening to this and you're just hoping that you never have to call 911. And for me, I hope you never have to call 911. But if you do, you know, because you never know when that time is going to be, the level of care that is offered in the back of an ambulance by paramedics rivals almost anything I've ever seen.
I agree.
I mean, some of the things that we can do. I mean, you can take pictures of people's hearts. You can diagnose a heart attack right in the back of the rig and start treating that immediately.
Yes.
You can alleviate pressures in chest. You can raise blood pressure. You can lower blood pressure. You can increase. I mean, there's so many things that can be done that need to be done quickly to save lives. And I think that's the difference in my mind.
I agree.
The speed at which life-saving interventions can occur. That we can do.
We are so lucky to have the guys that we have here and the gals that we've had in the past. They're the best. They're really, really great.
So you can have confidence in knowing that if you call 911, you're going to get the absolute best care that is possible in the world within 10 minutes to your door.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And just to add to that, so if you guys call 911, and if we feel like we don't need to take you, you don't have to go every time. What we're saying is that call it. We're okay with not taking you in. So, you know, call us.
Right.
Just please call us, because I've been here for 6 years now, and I still have to battle against people driving all the way to the ER when we could have started that entire process, and instead of waiting, we could have gotten you to a definitive care faster.
That's right. That's right.
Cooper, good while point. You're on the mic, speak to the speediness of stroke care. You know, how much time do you need to start interventions between a massive stroke? Or a massive heart attack. I mean, speak to that so people understand what that...
Well, so heart attack, the standard is actually 90 minutes. So from the time that they meet EMS or nurses at the hospital, 90 minutes is the goal. Because we want to get the catheter in you as fast as we can in their heart. And so we've actually achieved that here before. Not too long ago, actually, I just had one. And I called up the doc and said, hey, we have this. He said, great. We get there. He pushes a TPA. They're loaded in a helicopter. And they got a cath within 90 minutes.
Nice.
They're not going to have any old heart defects. So it's really important to call 911 when you have chest pain. Stroke, 4 hours? Three, 4 hours? Yeah, three hours is the golden hours. And as soon as those symptoms are seen, even better, call 911. And then what we do is we call the hospital. We might not be doing a lot to fix the stroke. We can't actually do much, but what we can do is we can let them know very early. We can go straight to CT from our ambulance, and then we'll find out if it's bleeding or not, or if it's a blockage, and then we will start TPA, get you to a neurologist, all that stuff. So we can start clot busters here to make that stroke go away and then get you to that definitive care.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, 3 hours for strokes. As soon as you see it, call us, even if you wake up with it, you know. And then chest pain, I mean, 90 minutes. That's right. That's the goal. Or else you can have heart damage for the rest of your life.
Mm.
And I think that's been one of the takeaways that I've had in EMS is I think a lot of us guys, I don't think women in general are as stubborn as we are, but, you know, you wake up, you're splitting wood. Oh, my chest is tight. You know, you feel that pressure in your chest and like, man, I must be a wuss. I must be getting old, you know. I better go take some lemonade and lay down. You know, you've already cut into your 90 minutes. So don't fart around with it, guys and gals. Get us coming.
And same with your age. It's not all 60 and 70 and 80
year olds. 40-year-old guys are dying from heart attacks.
Sure.
So can I put a story in right here?
Yeah, please.
Yes.
So a lot of people will think, well, I'll just get myself to the hospital in a second, right? And I don't have to wait, and they'll be there faster and whatever. I have a really sad story that happened to a friend of mine a few years ago. And he started to have a heart attack, and his wife said, well, you know what? We ought to call the ambulance. And he says, you're not calling no sons of being ambulance for me. And they head off to the hospital. Well, halfway between when they picked him up in the hospital, he died.
Aww.
He died from a heart attack. Here she is, driving in a car. How's she going to do CPR in the front seat of a pickup truck? Or what if he would have been driving and just killed some kids or whatever else? There's certain things that it's okay to drive yourself to the hospital. Mm-hmm. If you cut your finger or smash your finger, it's probably okay. But if you're having a heart attack or a stroke, it's really not okay. Not only just for you, but for all the people around you. Well, that friend of mine, if he would have stayed at home and that he would have died at home, so to speak, she could have at least done CPR till we got there. Just like the story Cooper and I talked about, and the wife did CPR, he's alive and well. She wasn't able to give him that opportunity because of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of those situations, you know, smash your finger, go get the ER, be fixed. You're having a heart attack or a stroke or those kind of things, you really need to call, because not only are you endangering your life, but all the people you're driving past to get there.
That's right.
I've worked on so many people that had chest pain, and that morning I'm either doing CPR on them or... they die as soon as I get them to the hospital.
Mm.
So, because they ignored it.
Right.
And
they were male.
And females.
Yeah. Right. Stubborn males.
Stupid males.
Yeah, stupid guys.
Let's be sexist here for a second.
Yes. So, in closing, Jimmy, start with you. Just any kind of takeaway message that you would want to give the community, give people in Afton... Let them know what. Is there anything on your mind that you'd just like to say in closing to the listeners of this podcast?
Just as both Cooper and Paul have said, If you are remotely concerned, call 911 and let us come and evaluate you. And then, because after that evaluation, which is free, well, then we can make an informed decision as to what's best. Because little things, the older you get and the more you blow things off, little things do make a big difference. Or some of the subtle things that we might see and put together as a piece of a puzzle might point to something that you definitely need to go and be treated and let us take you to the hospital.
That's true. Sure. I can think of many a time that I've gone and just given them some sugar. Mm-hmm. And they're like, whoa,
hello.
I feel so much better. Mm-hmm. And then off we go and leave them home. So you're right. It's free and your advice is free. So thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for coming.
Cooper.
What was the question again?
Just anything that you would want to say to
your
the community
takeaway.
Or for the listeners of this podcast. I mean, just anything that anything on your mind that you'd like to say regarding EMS.
So it's kind of going on to what Jimmy said. We have a lot of experience, and then on top of that, we have a lot of education. No matter how small it seems, we get really good at piecing really bad stories together to make a really good story.
Yeah.
We don't do all that training and education and everything like that. So if it seems like a bunch of small little things, well, we might find a connection that is pretty serious.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we can take care of that. We can start the process anyways. And like Jimmy said, the advice can be free. So, yeah. And I guess the other thing is on top of that, I know that money and everything like that's hard, but just remember that none of us are doing this for the money.
No.
That's why we don't take any billing information or anything like that. We don't care about that. It's the person that's going to be the priority on that one.
Cool.
So that's
right. Thanks,
my
Cooper.
Two cents on
Thanks,
that.
Cooper. Appreciate what you do. Paul?
I think you already got my 2 cents on the end there of, you know what, there are things that it's okay to drive yourself, and there's other things that really are not okay. The other thing is, I see a lot of people in this valley that don't think CPR is really that important. I think that every business along here should have an AED, and every person in this valley should be CPR trained. Because in a full arrest situation, that's really what saves lives. We can get there and we can do some things that are going to make maybe bring their heart back to beating or all that kind of stuff. But the reality of it is, it's the community and their efforts and their education in CPR and AEDs and those kind of things that can actually make a huge difference in the community also.
Yeah, that's right. Sure. Thanks,
Thank
Paul.
You. Well, I thought that was a pretty good podcast.
I think it's a really great podcast. Then we had the three amigos.
The three stooges. Do you have anything you want to add, MJ?
I don't. I just think that they're terrific, and we are truly blessed in this valley.
Yep, we really are. Well, we want to thank our sponsors.
We do.
Star Valley Health. They're great. Speaking of medicine, yes, Star Valley Health. They've been super supportive of the podcast.
That's right.
The Pop Shop.
Pop Shop.
I cannot live without Diet Mountain Dew right now. And so they're keeping me floating.
Wait, I thought you quit.
No, I quit Dr. Pepper.
But you haven't
Praise
quit
caffeine.
I have not quit caffeine. I never said I quit caffeine.
Oh, my heck.
I quit sugar is what
okay.
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And Wild Women.
Oh, I don't
Those two.
Think maybe
in that order,
falls
sugar
in that
and
category,
then.
But. Alrighty.
So, yes, we do thank the Pop Shop. Tommy over there, she's awesome.
We do. Echo Life, we thank.
Yes.
Duke.
Call Echo Life. Get your bug sprayed.
That's right. And we thank Star Valley Media for letting us do our podcast in this beautiful building.
Yep. We appreciate you guys.
That's right.
Well, we're going to sign off now. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Why Your Story Podcast. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
And I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
And we'll catch you on the next one.
That's right. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, Bella.